Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to start today in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, as we continue our sermon series called Amazing Old Testament Stories of Faith. Today we're going to be looking at a king who, at least in my mind, is not as well known as he should be. Now, if I were to ask you to name some of the kings that you were familiar with in the Old Testament, you may say names like David or Solomon or maybe even Hezekiah. And while many of us may have heard of this king that we're going to study today, most of us are probably more familiar with the kings that I just mentioned. But did you know that the Bible says this about King Josiah? There was no king like him. And that's in a good way. In fact, that's where I got the title of my message. Josiah, no king like him. Josiah's story is found in two places in the Old Testament, as many of the accounts of the kings of both Judah and Israel are found. And I'm going to be taking a few passages from the account found in 2 Chronicles 33 and 34, and then also some passages in 2 Kings 22 and 23. But to start, I want to read that verse that talks about Josiah, and that's found in 2 Kings 23, verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. Before him, meaning Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all his might, in conformity to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. That's pretty good. Whenever a description like that is given about anybody in the Bible, that person's story is worthy to be told, and we're going to tell King Josiah's story today. But before we do, as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom and understanding and blessing as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's pray. Father, it's our time to open your word for a few moments. We are thankful that you have provided that word for us down through the years. It will continue to remain with us. We are grateful. Today, Father, we're going to talk about one of the kings. His name was Josiah, and we thank you that there was no king like him. Help us to learn today what made him so special, why he was important, and how we can apply some of the things he did to our lives today. Use me, Father, in a way that would be pleasing to you, helpful, encouraging to all who are here and who will be listening, and we will give you the praise. Thank you, Father. Give us your wisdom and understanding, and we will give you the praise in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Based on those God-inspired words found in the Bible, a case could easily be made that Josiah was the most faithful of all the kings of the Jewish people. So let's take a look at why Josiah was so faithful and see if we can make some applications that will help us to become more faithful in our service to the Lord and his kingdom. First, let me give you a little bit of background to set the stage for why the Bible says there was no king like him. Josiah was one of the last kings of Judah. When Josiah was born, his grandfather, a guy by the name of Manasseh, was the king of Judah. Manasseh had been a very evil and wicked and ungodly king. But late in his reign, the Assyrians invaded Judah, and the Bible says, took him by hooks to Babylon. Now, when he was in Babylon, he repented, and he prayed to God, who allowed him to come back to Jerusalem. And when he got back, he commanded Judah to worship the Lord, and he attempted a restoration. But that change did not take root in Josiah's daddy, the new king, whose name was Amon. Amon became the king of Judah when Josiah was 5 years old, and he returned to practicing all the wickedness and the idol worship of his youth in the early part of Manasseh's reign. He brought back all the idols that Manasseh had taken away. But after reigning for only 3 years, some of his servants rose up and killed him. Amon's assassins were hunted down and killed, and Josiah was made the king of Judah at the ripe old age of 8. 8 years old, can you imagine that? Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind? I'm the king at 8 years old. It couldn't have been very pleasant for him. I wonder who was going to help him. I wonder who was going to shape and influence him as he reigned. Now, we're not told specifically who influenced Josiah, but someone, and probably many, helped him take charge of the nation and were an influence on this young king. Many scholars believe that one person who may have influenced Josiah was Hilkiah, the high priest, who the Bible says was very faithful, and we know that he did help him during his reign. But what we really know is that Josiah was a very good man who used his influence to bring God's people to repentance and restoration. Josiah became the most godly, faithful king Judah had ever seen. So what caused him to be so faithful? How was he able to lead the people of God by his obedient example? Well, I want to look at some important decisions that Josiah made as king and then make some applications for us today. Here's the first one he made. He reached out to God. That's simple. And I want to read what is said about Josiah in the first part of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 3. Here's what it says. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. Now the wording here is interesting to me. In the 8th year of his reign, that means Josiah was 16 years old. How many teenagers do we have in here today? Raise your hand if you're a teenager. Okay, we've got some teenagers in here today. 16 years old. I want you to notice what it says. Still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. Did you get that? He began to seek God. Not the gods of his father Amon, not the gods of his grandfather Manasseh, but the one true and living God, and he started at 16. Now, it's been a long time since I've been 16, and I was thinking this week, what are 16-year-old boys interested in? Well, my guess is, not necessarily in this order, interested in girls, cars, sports, music, entertainment, having fun, right? I mean, that's what teenagers are interested in. Could Josiah have been pursuing those things? Well, probably. He's the king. I mean, he may have already been given several wives by this time at 16. I don't know that. What I do know is he was born to his father when his father was 16. But what the Word of God says is that Josiah began to seek God. And for him, it wasn't just a passing fad. Sometimes young people as well as older people get caught up in this religious fad. Maybe a crisis takes place in their lives. Or maybe their friends are influencing them to look into quote-unquote religious matters. Best example I can think of, many of you were alive as I was, 9-1-1 when the Twin Towers went down in New York City. And we know that right after that, many people turned to God, at least for a little while. But what happens often is the fad soon passes. And those people go back to their worldly ways. When I was reading this story of Josiah, I couldn't help but reflect a little on my own struggles as a teenager and a young adult. See, I was 21 years old, married, already had one child, one on the way, when I decided to commit my life completely to Jesus Christ. Now, I was already a believer. I'd gone to church all my life. My parents saw to that. But to me, God and Jesus were mostly just a biblical reality. Oh, I can answer some basic Bible questions. I knew a few Bible stories, but the Holy Spirit was a total stranger to me. I had no real desire to go to heaven and be with God. I just knew for sure I didn't want to go to hell. So looking back, I am sure that at least at first, the fear of hell was a greater motivating factor to me than my love for God. Well, when I got married and started to study the Bible, something began to happen to me. The Holy Spirit convicted me about what Jesus had done. His love and sacrifice for me caught hold somewhere in my heart, and began to transform my mind. And I thank God it's a lasting change. He is still changing me. He is still molding me into the person that he wants me to become. Now, the fear of God's wrath is still real to me, but his mercy and grace is just as real, and it is the motivating factor behind the way I live and what I do. And I know from his word that God desires all to be saved, and that if we will seek him, if we will reach out to him, we will find him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And I want you to know that today. The Bible repeatedly shows us that we are unable to experience many of God's blessings until we are willing to seek him wholeheartedly. But when we do, Jeremiah adds this, Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is good to those who await him, to the person who seeks him." And this was certainly true for Josiah. God blessed him, and he helped Josiah with this next point. Josiah overcame his past. And he had a tough past to overcome. He had a grandfather who was as evil as any king had ever been. He had a father who was murdered, assassinated. He didn't have very good examples to follow within his family. But he did not allow his past to keep him from doing what was right. At 16, he began to seek God. 4 years later, he began to take action. The last part of that verse that I read earlier says this, "And in the 12th year," he would have been 20, "In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the cast metal images." He was cleaning up Jerusalem of all the false gods that were there. And then he went to the other cities in the land of Judah, and he did the same thing. Verse 7 says, "He also tore down the altars and crushed the Asherim and the carved images into powder and chopped down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel." Then he returned to Jerusalem. We see just how committed Joshua was in destroying the evil past that plagued Israel. But once that was destroyed, once the land was cleaned up, he continued with his reforms. 2 Chronicles 34:8 says, "Now in the 18th year of his reign," how old would he have been? 26. "When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, Messiah, an official of the city, and Joah the son of Jehoahaz the secretary, to repair the house of the Lord his God," meaning the temple. As I was thinking about that, I couldn't help but wonder, how popular was Josiah at this time? I'm sure there were many people that loved him, but I'm sure there were many people who hated him because he was taking out all of those false gods that they were worshiping. The point is that Josiah went public with his faith. He didn't hide it from others. To Josiah, this was no private matter to keep between him and God. He removed the idols. He repaired the temple. It was a big job. Josiah wanted to rid the country of its sinful past, to remove the idols, which were causing so many sins that the people were committing. He overcame his past, and he did everything he could to help the nation overcome their past. And I like that. Don't you? You see, so often our past overshadows us. And I can't help but think that right here, right now, today, there are a lot of you who are struggling. You are hurting because of some things that may have happened in your past, whether it was things you did or things others did to you. The hurts of the past are barriers that keep you from receiving God's blessings for the future. Josiah is one that shows us that we can move forward. We can overcome our past. We can find forgiveness and healing and wholeness. If you will seek God with all your heart, he will certainly bless you and help you overcome all your past mistakes and difficulties. Second decision Josiah made was this: he restored God's law. And that was the covenant that he had made with his people through Moses many centuries before. So after Josiah got rid of the idols, and he was cleaning up and restoring the temple and moving back the holy things that should have been there, Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law. And this referred to the original books that had been written by Moses and had been lost for generations. It was brought to Josiah and read in his presence. And the Bible says, as it was being read, 2 Kings 22, verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, that was a common practice in that day when people were ready to repent or they were appalled at some evil things that were happening. Josiah realized when he heard the law just how terrible the condition was before God in Judah. He was horrified, and for good reason. The law of God shows the paths of righteousness and pronounces God's blessings on the righteous, but it also reveals the way of sin and wickedness and pronounces God's curse upon the sinner. Josiah knew Israel's idolatry. And so he called together some of his trusted friends, and he did what we all need to do whenever we're struggling with sin. Josiah believed God's word, and he prayed for God's help. That's what we must do. Look at verse 13. The Bible says this: "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For the wrath of the Lord that burns against us is great, because our fathers did not listen to the words of this book, to act in accordance with everything that is written regarding us." So Josiah had his friends, sent them out to seek a prophet of God to inquire when God was going to do what he said he was going to do when people rebelled against him. So in verses 19 to 20, he was told, yes, God was going to bring evil on all the Israelite nation. But because Josiah had humbled himself, because he had repented, because he had wept on behalf of the people and sought him in prayer, that he was going to experience peace. The curse that would come came after Josiah had died. You see, Josiah had a quality about him that we all need to have. Josiah was teachable. He had evidently listened to some good instruction as a child, and after the book of the law was found, he listened to what it was saying to him. He sought out God's word for direction, and he remained teachable. We ought to remain open and willing to do what God is saying through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through others around us who are trying to help us. I probably, like you, have met people before who are very, I'm going to say, rigid and inflexible. They know all they need to know. And they think they can improve things, even in the church, by changing some of the foundational truths and practices that God has established for his church in the New Testament. Now, whenever I encounter people like that, I'm reminded I need to always remain humble and teachable, treating people the way God has taught us to treat them. But what I wanted to do today was give you a couple of examples. One's a good example. One is not a good example. Of having a teachable attitude concerning how we should treat other people. And both of these are sports events, as you might think I would share. They're both true stories. Some time ago, there was a story on CNN. It was about a Christian school basketball team that beat another team, another Christian school, by the score of 100-0. It was a slaughter. The coach of the winning team, even though it was clear that the other team was no match, kept a full court press on the entire game. He kept pushing his players to keep scoring and humiliating the other team. The coach was unapologetic after the game, and the school fired him. The school administration, realizing how unchristlike the game had become, opted to forfeit the win. But the coach didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with what he did. He was being unteachable. Let me share how another Christian school team got it right. Another true story. This took place on November 7th, 2008. The Grapevine Faith football team from Grapevine, Texas, was scheduled to play the Gainesville State School. Now, here's what you need to understand. The Gainesville State School was a maximum security prison for those under the age of 21. Gainesville State School came in with a record of 0-8. They had scored 2 touchdowns all year. Many of the team's players had been convicted of drugs, of assault and robbery. The families of many of them had disowned them. They were playing with pads and equipment that was 7 years old. Grapevine Faith, on the other hand, had an enormous following led by the parents of the players. They had 70 players and all the latest equipment. They had a full coaching staff, and they were 7-2 as a record going into the game. Over 400 of just parents and students from the school came to support the team each week, along with others. Everyone knew the probable outcome of the game weeks before they were due to play. So Grapevine's coach, a man by the name of Chris Hogan, called the students and the parents together earlier in the week before the game was scheduled and told them this idea that he had been praying about. He told them who their opponents were and asked that for this game that half of the Grapevine fans, the parents and students, would become Gainesville fans for this one night. Coach Hogan said, imagine you didn't have a home life and everyone had pretty much given up on you. Now imagine what it would mean if hundreds of people suddenly believe in you. Here's the message I want you to send to those Gainesville kids. You are just as valuable as any person on planet Earth. They agreed. The parents made a banner for the Gainesville kids to run through and cheered them on as they ran to their sideline. They cheered the Gainesville team by name. They cheered when the Gainesville kids tackled their own kids. 200 Grapevine parents and students cheered that Gainesville team that night. They even gave them cheerleaders for the night. We can tell people are a little afraid of us when we come to the games, said Gerald, a lineman who would spend 3 years there at the Gainesville school. You can see it in their eyes. They're looking at us as if we're criminals. But these people, they were yelling for us by our names. I couldn't believe it, he said. If you're wondering what the final score was, Grapevine won 34-14. After the game, both teams gathered in the middle of the field to pray. And that's when a boy by the name of Isaiah from the state school surprised everyone when he asked if he could lead the prayer. We had no idea what the kid was going to say, remembers Coach Hogan. But Isaiah said this, Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you, but I never would have known that there were so many people in the world that cared about us. That's what he prayed. As they were walking off the field, the Gainesville coach grabbed Coach Hogan by the shoulders, and he said, Coach, you'll never know what your people did for these kids tonight. You'll never, ever know. I believe that's a great example of not only being teachable, but putting your faith into action. One final decision King Josiah made, he remained faithful his entire life to God and his word. Do you know what Josiah did when he heard that God was going to punish the nation of Israel because of their sins? He called all the people together, he had them hear the law of God, and he renewed God's covenant with them. Let's look at 2 Kings 23, verse 3. The Bible says, and the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments, his provisions, and his statutes with all of his heart and all his soul to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant. Josiah challenged the people to remain true to God's covenant. And probably the most important thing he did was something the Bible said no other king had done. Josiah returned the people to observing the worship practices that God had required many centuries before. And this was especially true concerning the Passover. Now, many of you remember the Passover was the way the Jewish people remembered how God passed over their homes when he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and then freed them from Egyptian bondage. They were to celebrate that every year. So they began celebrating the Passover again because that's what God wanted. And then verse 24 tells us the motivation behind Josiah's deeds. Listen. Moreover, Josiah removed the mediums, the spiritists, the household idols, the idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem so that, here's the motivation, so that he might fulfill the words of the law which was written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now let me make an application for today. God has already directed the kind of worship that is pleasing to him. We have no right to determine our own ways to worship God and obey Him. We are to do what Josiah did, and that is to require that God's people follow God's word. And that's what we're trying to do here. We are to follow what God has said. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, we know no one refutes the fact that the early church gathered every first day of the week to come around the Lord's table, to remember Jesus in that special way. And we still do that today. We're going to follow the example that's found in the Bible. Now let me conclude in this way. In the beginning of the story about Josiah, 2 Kings 22 verse 2 says this: He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked entirely in the way of his father David and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Josiah never deviated from the right path. Josiah reached out to God. He restored God's law and he remained faithful his entire life to God and his word. Those were the three decisions he made as the king. And then at the end of the story, that wonderful conclusion about his life. 2 Kings 23 verse 25, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, and all his might in conformity to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. And when I read that, all I can say is, wow, that's quite a description. He found himself in a period of unparalleled idolatry, and yet he faithfully stood up for the Lord. He listened to the word of the Lord. He humbled himself, and he obeyed. So my question today is, have you reached out to God? He's there. If you seek him, you will find him. That's what the Bible says. He's there to help you overcome your past. He's there to help you forgive you of your sins. He's there to help you become a better person and to be what he wants you to be. That's what Christianity is all about. It's a lifelong process of God changing us and transforming us to become more like Jesus.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.